Blog Talk Radio.
Sister Nasanya. Shalom, brothers and sisters. We're here to share with you the information that is pertinent or should be pertinent in your lives. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Otherwise, you are nothing more than a monstrosity. It's true. There's no middle ground. Either the way you are, or you're something else. It's true. That's why it's urgent that we study about Yah. See, in these modern studies now, they don't teach about Yah. They teach about Jesus. But we don't teach about Jesus. We teach you about the Creator, the great I Am, and so on and so forth. Because they got a whole lot of Jesus going on around here. But the fact speaks for themselves. How are we any better? No, I would suspect not. See, you have to go to the source of creativity, which is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And also, we need to learn to gather ourselves together. And therefore, we must keep a pulse on one another to find out what we're doing, when we're doing, how we're doing, and to point each other in the right direction, just like we choose to do on the Real Talk for Real People study show. What you may ask about Cartrell and I, We love the Most High with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And our brothers and sisters as ourselves. As should we. Meaning we love ourselves. We're not a nigger. We're not a monkey. We're not a jigaboo. Or whatever they want to call us. We're Hebrews. And we're proud of it. And we're proud of our brothers and sisters. Although some of them don't appreciate it. And some of them don't know it. But it's true. We're here to share these studies with you. And we hope you take them to heart. Restudy them, meditate on them, and most importantly, apply them. So without further ado, let me bring my brother on from New York City. Brother Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot.
Bless you, all my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Yisrael, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For the young Sufari, Sister Nasanya, Sister Abia, how y'all doing? Shalom. May the Most High bless y'all.
Shalom, brother. Nasanya says, shalom, brother. I'm saying it
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing well.
Pass that peace on, because we need peace. Shalom. No doubt.
You better believe it, brother. You better believe it.
But, yeah, man, it's good to be back. Good to hear the word of the Most High. The most refreshing thing that we could, like, tap into right now. Because, I mean, the news that's going out there is depressing.
Exactly, Cadrio. Depressing. And you're certainly right, Brother Cadrio. The evidence don't lie. It speaks for itself.
And unfortunately, everybody's not tuned in worldwide to this radio show.
Exactly.
All mankind needs to be tuned into the Most High, for sure.
Truth be told, brother. Truth be told.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, big brother. But it's true. All right, Katria, if you're ready to get started in our studies, I'm ready to get started in our studies.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, brother. Where everybody turn to Shofim, chapter 9. Some of you call it Judges. Not the correct name. We share any correct name. Shofim, chapter 9. And let me give you some update what I'm about to read about the people that Yah is making reference to in these studies. The people, the men of Shechem. This ain't the first time we met these people. They are Hivites. They are the ones who raped Jacob's. Well, not they as a people, but their prince raped Dinah. They are Hivites. And they paid a price for that. And this young man, birthed by a Hebrew, Emelik, is a son of Zerubbabel. His mother, obviously, is a Hivite. Okay? So let's begin in these studies. When Emelik, the son of Zerubbabel, which is Gideon, went to Shechem, to his mother's brothers, and spoke with them, and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, please speak in the hearing of all the men of Shechem, these Hivites, which is better for you, that all 70 of the sons of Zerubbabel, which were Hebrews, poor Hebrews, reign over you, or that one reign over you, me, he's speaking of. Remember that. I'm your own flesh and blood. I'm a Hivite, what he's saying. And his mother, brother, spoke all these words concerning him in the hearing of all the men of Shechem, these Hivites. And their heart was inclined to follow Abimelech. For they
Abimelech. My father is king.
Right. And they said, thank you, Katya. They said, he is our brother. Simply said, he's a Hivite. So they gave him 70 shekels of silver from the temple of Baal Barath, which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless men. And they followed him, good for nothing men, so to speak. Then he went to his father's house at Ophrah and killed his brothers, the 70 sons of Jeroboam, on one stone. But Jothan, the youngest son of Jeroboam, was left because he hid himself. Smart young fellow. And all the men of Shechem, these Hivites, gathered together, all of Beth Milo, they went and made Abimelech king beside the terebinth tree at the pillar that was in Shechem. Now here's a parable of those trees. Now this young fellow, he was bold now, this young son of Jeroboam, the youngest. Now when they told Jothan, he went and stood on the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted his voice and cried out. And he said to them, listen to me, you men of Shechem, you Hivites, that Yah may listen to you. The trees once were went forth to anoint a king over them. Talk about us. And they said to the olive tree, rain over, which was nutritious. But the olive tree said to them, should I cease to give my oil, with which the honor of Yah, with which they honor Yah in men, and go to sway over trees? No. And the tree said to the fig tree, you come and reign over us. But the fig tree said to them, which was nutritious and rewarding, should I cease my sweetness and my good fruit and go to sway over trees? Then the tree said to the vine, you come and reign over us, making reference to these men of Shechem, the Hivites, and our people too. Because, you know, they asked Gideon to rule. And Gideon said, no, no. Should I seize my new vine, my new wine, talking about grapes, which cheer both Yah and men, and go to sway over trees? And then they asked a little prickly, they call it a bramble. It ain't nothing but a little prickly shrub. And that's how he's making reference to his brother, a little prickly shrub. Abimelech, he's referring to him. Then all the trees said to the bramble, you come and reign over us. And the bramble said to the trees, if it is in truth you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade. But if not, let the fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars, the cedar trees of Lebanon. Mm-hmm. Which basically what so-called King Abimelech is going to do for them. Now he says, now therefore, if you act in truth and sincerity in making Abimelech king, and you have dwelt well with Jerubbaal in his house, and have done to him as he deserves, which you hadn't, basically, so he's speaking, for my father fought for you, risked his life and delivered you out of the hand of Midian. But you have risen up against my father's house this day and killed his 70 sons on one stone and made Abimelech, his half-breed, the son of his female servant, his concubine, king over the men of Shechem. Why? Because he's a Hivite like you. Because he is your brother. And then you have acted in truth and sincerity with Jerubbaal, with his house to this day, they rejoiced in Abimelech. If y'all done right, they rejoice in him. Let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and Beth Milo. And let fire come from the men of Shechem and from Beth Milo and devour Abimelech. And Jothan ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of his brother Abimelech and the downfall. You reap what you sow, Cartrell, fellow students. Say no game, people, this is something serious. After Abimelech reigned over Israel 3 years, didn't take very long, Yah sent a spirit of ill will between his own people, Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dared treacherously with Abimelech, that the crime done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might be settled and their blood be laid. They were tired of this. They must have been going through some things because of those 70 brothers, those Hebrew brothers. And so they didn't want the blood to be laid. They didn't want this no more. And their blood be laid on Abimelech, their brother, their half-brother, who killed them, and on the men of Shechem, these Hivites, who aided him in killing his brothers. And the men of Shechem, what they said, there's no honor among thieves and killers neither, so I see. And the men of Shechem set men in ambush against him, his own people, on the tops of the mountains. They robbed all who passed by them along that way. And it was told to so-called King Abimelech. But Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his brothers and went over to Shechem. And the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. So they went out in the fields and gathered grapes from the vineyards and trotted them and made merry. They had made wine. And they went into the house of their God, and ate and drank and cursed Abimelech, his own people. Then Gaal, the son of Ebed, says, who is this Abimelech who is in Shechem that we should serve him? He's a half-breed, so to speak. That's what they're saying. Is he not the son of Jerubbaal? He's a half-breed. And is not Zubu, his officer, served the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem, these Hivites? Not no half-breed, but why should we serve him? If only this people were under my authority, these Hivites, I would remove Abimelech. So he said to Abimelech, get ready, increase your army and come out. When Zubu, the ruler of the city, this Hivite, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was aroused. And he sent messages to Abimelech secretly. Take note, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brothers have come forth to Shechem, and here they are fortifying the city against you. Now, therefore, get up by night, you and the people who are with you, and lie in wait in the field. And it shall be as soon as the sun is up in the morning that you shall rise early and rush upon the city. And when he and the people who are with him come against you, you may then do to them as you find opportunity. So Abimelech and all the people who were with him rose by night and laid in wait in Shechem, against Shechem, in four companies. When Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood at the entrance to the city gate, Abimelech, so-called King Abimelech, and the people who were with him, rose from lying in wait. When Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebu, look, people are coming down from the tops of the mountain. But Zebu said to him, you see the shadows of the mountains as they were made. Man, you don't see what you think you're seeing. You just see shadows. Then Gaal spoke again. See, people are coming down from the center of the land. And another company is coming from the Debitters, Terebinth tree. Then Zubu said to him, where indeed is your mouth now with which you say it? Now you're scared. Well, all that tough talk now. When you say it, who is it? So-called King Abimelech. I'm putting it so-called it. That we should serve him. Or not these people whom you despise, these. And these are half-breeds. Go out as you will and fight with them. So Gaal went out leading the men of Shechem, these Hivites, and fought with so-called King Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him. He fled from him, and many fell wounded to the very entrance of the gate. Abimelech dwelt at Aruma, and Zebu drove out Gaul and his brothers, so that they would not dwell in Shechem. And it came about on the next day that the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech. So he took his people, divided them into three companies, lay in wait in the field. He looked, and there were the people coming out of the city. He rose against these Hivites and attacked them. Then Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood at the entrance of the gate of the city. And the other two companies rushed upon all who were in the field and killed them, these Hivites. So Abimelech fought against the city all that day. He took the city, killed the people who were in it. He demolished the city and sowed it with salt. You know, when you sow something with salt, the ground with salt, you can't grow nothing there no more. I mean, it was a scotch thirst against these Hivites, his half-brothers. And now when all the men of the Tower of Shechem, sort of like a fort, heard that they had entered the stronghold of the temple of the god Barath, it was told Abimelech that all the men of the Tower of Shechem were gathered together. Then Abimelech went up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people who were with him, these bloodthirsty men. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand, cut down a broth from the tree, took it, laid it on his shoulder. Then he said to the people, these good-for-nothing, good, worthless people, he said to the people who were with him, what you have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done. So each of the people likewise cut down his own broth, his own branch, and followed Abimelech, put them against the stronghold, and set the stronghold on fire. This little small fortress. So that all the people of the Tower of Shechem, these men of war, about 1,000 men and women, died. When Abimelech went to Tebez, he encamped against Tebez and took it. But there was a strong tower in the city, a fortified tower, obviously. And all the men and women, all the people of the city fled there and shut themselves in. Then they went up to the top of the tower. So Abimelech came as far as the tower and fought against it. He drew near the door of the tower to burn it with fire, just like he did the other spot. But his time was up. You reap what you sow. But a certain woman dropped an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, draw your sword and kill me. List men said, a woman killed him. He had a low esteem for women. It don't matter who killed you. When you're dead, you're dead. So his young man thrust him through, and he died. When the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed, every man to his place. See, some of these rowdy people that were hanging out with Abimelech were good for another Hebrew men of war. They were killers. They departed, every man to his place. Thus Yah repaid the wickedness, which he'll pay everybody, and Abimelech, which he had done to his father, by killing these Hebrew brothers, these total Hebrew brothers, his 70 brothers, and all the evil of the men of Shechem, these Hivites. They both got what they deserved. Yah returned on their own heads. They reaped what they sowed. They rolled stones on people. The stones rolled back on them. They dug ditches for people. They fell in their own ditches. The curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal, he put a curse on them. Sometimes you ain't got to go to war with nobody. Sometimes you can ask Yah and put a curse on. What did Yah say? Bless those that bless me, and curse those that curse me, Yah. Sometimes that's all you got to do. In the case of Jotham, he didn't go chasing after his brother. He put Yah on it. And Yah gave Jotha what he deserved. In the case of those Hivites, in the case of Amalek, his half-breed, and the other Hebrew rowdy men, bloodthirsty men, these cutthroats, went on back to their business as if nothing happened. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Cottrell, my brother, you have the mic.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael. Such an interesting story about the son of, what's the judge's name?
Yahrubal.
Yahrubal, who was Gideon.
Is
Gideon's
that?
Son. You know, he had a lot of wives.
Yeah, I know.
70 sons. Can you imagine that?
No, I can't. Personally speaking, no, I can't imagine that, country. Not for Yum Soup. I ain't knocking what another man can do. I can't touch that.
After imagining you had 70 sons,
mm-hmm.
imagine one of them killing all of them except one.
Cold blood.
And the one that did it is the son of a Hamite, a Canaanite. And he
exactly.
got more affiliation with his mother's side than with his father's
exactly.
side. He's
exactly.
an Israelite, but
yeah.
he leaning on his mother's side.
Right.
Which is why he made an alliance with the men of Shechem.
Exactly.
And in all historic accounts, Abimelech is the first king of Israel.
Yeah, by all historical accounts.
But
not acknowledged. Right.
Huh?
But not acknowledged.
Right.
Not even anointed.
Right.
Most importantly. Yeah.
They mentioned the anointing, but he was never anointed.
No.
They make mention of his anointing. I don't know what verse that was, but I saw it somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he was never
anointed.
Knew that the process was to have the king be anointed, which he never was.
Exactly.
But my gosh, he killed 70 of his brothers? Damn, that's crazy.
That's cold blood.
He killed them with a rock and wound up being killed with a rock himself.
Right. That's just an ironic country. He killed him with a rock and he ended up at a rock steady too. Crushed his head too. I'm glad you pointed that out, Cottrell. You're certainly correct, brother.
Not only that, but the fact that the one brother that got away, he used his words wisely.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Like, if my brother is right in what he's doing, after killing,
right.
you know, so many of our brothers, then y'all bless him and be with him. But if
right.
not, y'all burn his ass for what he's done.
Cottrell. Is that what he said, burn his ass? I don't think he said like that, Cottrell. But I get
exactly
where he's coming from. Burn
yeah,
his
yeah.
ass.
That's what he meant. And that's why we have to be careful with our words, because our words are powerful. And
exactly.
we see that the youngest brother, Yoktan, he was smart enough to avoid death and to bring justice, to bring, what they say, closure. He killed
closure.
70 of my brothers, man. 70 of my brothers. Imagine
exactly.
having 70 brothers and one of your brothers killed all of them.
Yeah. That's cold.
That's crazy.
Brother. That's cold.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. So your man had much blood on his head, on his hand, and blood calls for blood. And
exactly.
the fact that he had consciousness after he got hit upside his head with a rock,
mm-hmm.
so his elevator thrust him through. He was a pretty strong dude.
Yeah.
Imagine your skull being cracked, and you got the consciousness enough to say, "Yo, I'm about to die. I don't want
right.
you know, a woman giving me credit for killing me. So, my man, take your sword and thrust me through."
Well, that woman did catch you, partner. That woman killed
you. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
I mean,
it's like,
hey, Cottrell, the ironic
yeah.
thing about this, the men that aided him, the men of Shechem, they got what they deserved to.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anytime you murder somebody, it's going to come back to haunt you.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, thou shalt not murder.
A bare false witness.
Those codes are out there, man. Witness.
Yeah, and it's going to come back to haunt you. It's going to see, when you mess with people, conscious people, it come back on you quicker than you know it. Okay? Praise y'all.
And baby brother didn't have to lift up a sword. He ain't pick up no bow and arrow. He just used words.
Exactly. That's what I use too, country. I use words. And sometimes at that moment you don't be feeling like the words, but when you get good people that iron sharp and iron, they keep you sharp.
It says, and the curse of Yachthon, the son of Yerubbaal, came on them. Yeah, because his words were correct.
Exactly.
He should have cursed his brother for killing 70 other brothers. Can't be doing that. Are you crazy? You killed 70 of your brothers because you wanted to be king. Okay. Who does that?
Exactly. Who does that, Katrina?
I don't know.
But are people are like that, Katrina.
Oh,
what
yeah.
do you mean?
Mm-hmm. Abimelech, my father is king. And your man just went off. You remember, they was trying to make Gideon king.
Right.
Or make his sons king. He's like, nah, I don't want no parts of that.
Exactly.
And I think Abimelech heard that. Like, he don't want it. I'm going to take that. They want somebody to be king out of Gideon's family? I'm going to do that.
Right. And obviously, Cartrell, some of our people accepted it. Some of the rowdy cutthroats that went along with him accepted it.
Well, it seems like he was in Shechem with the Hamites, and he got the alliance from his mother's son.
Right. Exactly.
And then he convinced some Israelites from Hamites, rolling with
Abimelech. Yeah, he had a mixture of people. Probably had some Israelites, too. I didn't say I know for a fact. I said, I suspect he had a whole vast reservoir of mixture of people and so on and so forth.
Yeah. He says, when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they each departed to his place. Why was y'all with him in the first place?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But we are, just not us being a monstrosity. My wife pointed something out to me. We've always been a monstrosity. Every time how whorish you can be. You have peace, you have relatively peace, and you prosper when you were Yah. Soon your little hover hand run to ball, or whatever, whoever you run to, you got trouble. Can you get that in your head? And we still hadn't got it into our heads, Scott. Yeah.
That's why it's important to make these studies, to go through these studies. Because this is who we are. This is our history.
Exactly.
It's like looking in.
Exactly.
It's like looking in a mirror. Because we have not changed. We have not changed at all.
Exactly. What a shame, guys.
We better change.
And what a shame.
We better change because judgment is coming.
We better change. Yeah, Cottrell. Tell the students again. We better change. It ain't gonna get no better. It's true. We got to do better.
And we could see that Abimelech didn't learn anything from Gideon because Gideon was a humble man. He didn't want to be king or have that kind of power. He's like, nah, Yah is your king. And Abimelech should have been on the same path of his father. I'm not king.
Humble
my
like
brothers
his
ain't
father.
King.
Right.
Yah
humble
is
like
our king.
Humble like his father.
Which shows you that the mothers of other nations can have impact on your children. even though they are your savior.
Good, bad, or ugly. It's true. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Certainly correct, Archer. Good, bad, or ugly.
And the Most High told us not to marry Canaanite women. And we see that Gideon, he had a child by a Canaanite, Shechemite woman.
Yeah.
And it cost him.
It cost him.
70 sons. Damn.
70 sons.
That's incredible.
Well, it tells me, Katrina, and it should tell the fellow students, you got to follow Yah every step of the way. You can't improvise. You can't improvise with Yah. You have to follow Yah every step of the way. It's just that simple. Otherwise, there's going to be some consequences, and not in your favor. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Let his footstep be your pathway by virtue of his word.
Abimelech seems to be a leader.
Yeah.
And imagine 70 of your brothers having your back. You're not
right.
Killing them, but 70 brothers having your back.
Exactly.
And who would follow a man? Who would follow a man that would kill 70 of his brothers? I know I wouldn't follow
lowest,
a man. You kill 70 of your
kind.
Brothers? Huh?
Only the lowest kind. Only the lowest kind of man would follow a man like that, Katya. Only the lowest kind of
man. I would never follow a man that has the gall to kill his own brothers. Not just one
exactly.
or two, but all 70. If you kill 70 of your brothers, what do you think about me? I'm not
trusting. Right, he can't be trusted.
Oh, heck no.
I wouldn't trust a follow man right, like that.
Oh,
no. It's
yeah, man.
Charge. I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Any closing remarks on that, Kurt? Any closing
not really.
Remarks? Okay.
Justice.
Thank you, brother.
Justice. You read what you sow.
Yeah, it's true. Thank you for your
killed
insight.
Your brothers with a rock. You got killed with a rock.
Rock standing.
All right. Thank you, big brother. Fellow students, Cartrell is about to share the last segment of study, which is in the seventh chapter of Ecclesiastes, the value of practical wisdom. Cartrell, big brother, you got the mic.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the wisdom that he imparted upon our great king, King Solomon. He had his flaws, he had his fallacies, but he dropped some bombs. And King Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, right?
Exactly.
Chapter 7, a good name is better than precious ointment. And Abimelech, that's not a good name. Amen. His name is going down in infamy. He killed 70 of your brothers, and we all know. And the day of death, then the day of birth. I don't know what was on King Solomon's mind when he wrote that. He says the day of death is better than the day of birth. I don't know about that. It is better to go into the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Why is that? Because I guess in the house of mourning, you learn a lesson about life. In the house of feasting, you ain't got a care in the world. For this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of face, the heart is made glad. Yeah, you got to go through trials and tribulations. You got to go through adversity to learn that life teaches you a lesson. And the lesson is you have to trust in the Most High, call on him in all your troubles. It says sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness the face of the heart is made glad. Yeah, because when you're sad, when you're in sorrow, it makes you reflect. It makes you meditate. It makes you think about life itself. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise. Yeah, let a wise man correct you. You can't always see yourself as others see you. When somebody who is wise tries to correct you and put you on the right path, you should be humble enough to receive that wisdom. It's not to tear you down. It's to tear you down and build you up. And to hear the song of fools And there's a lot of foolish songs out there, aren't there? Especially in the hip-hop community. Songs of fools. But as the cracking of thorns in the pot, so is the laughter of fools. This also is vanity. When fools laugh, you don't want to be laughing with them. Surely oppression drives the wise into madness. There's a lot of wise people who have lost their minds because they've been oppressed. And a bribe corrupts the home. Clarence Thomas, I think he needs to read Proverbs. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. And patience is a hard thing to come by when dealing with people. You can be proud all you want, but being patient, that's a discipline. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry. And so many people are angry these days, especially Donald Trump's people. What you angry for? What you angry at? But anger lodges in the heart of fools. And you don't want to be a fool because you're angry.
Exactly.
Because anger blinds you from reason, rationale. You might do something rash that you regret. You can't take it back because you acted out of anger. Say not. Why were the former days better than these? And me and you, Yom Sufi, 67, and we could talk about the good old days, right?
And they were so better than these. I don't know if they were all that good, Country.
King Solomon said, don't talk about it. For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. Wisdom
so you mean
is good.
I can't make America great again?
Yeah, it wasn't great when we was growing up. The music was great, but the conditions, they wasn't so great.
Exactly.
Wisdom is good with an inheritance. An advantage to those who see the sun. For the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money. Did you know that?
Exactly.
People protect more money more than they protect wisdom. They value more money more than they value wisdom. But wisdom is better than money. And the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it. If you got wisdom, you ain't got to worry about money. Consider the work of Elohim. Who can make straight what he has made crooked? You can't. You could try, but it ain't going to work. In a day of prosperity, be joyful. When God bless you, be glad. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Give him glory. Give him honor. And in a day of adversity, consider. Elohim has made the one as well as the other. And adversity is for a reason. It's a test. To see if you're going to rely on the Most High or you're going to lean on your own understanding. Every adversity that the King David had, what did he do? He called on the Most High. Every adversity that our father Abraham had, what did he do? He called on the Most High. And every adversity that we have, what should we do?
Call on God, brother.
Because Yah made the adversity. He makes prosperity. So that man may not find out anything that we've done after him. After you dead, you don't know what's going on. You dead.
No.
In my vain life, I have seen everything, says King Solomon. There's a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness. Oh, yeah. And there's a wicked man who prolongs his life in his evil doing. We see that too.
Donald J. Trump.
Yep.
Donald J. Trump. And it's like, and it's lax.
Yes. And he's still alive. And we've seen people with better character than him pass off the scene, right?
Right.
Be not overly righteous, self-righteous, holier than thou. And do not make yourself too wise. Oh, you're smarter than everybody else. You know everything.
Exactly.
Why should you destroy yourself? Because that's all you're doing. And you think you're righteous, more righteous than anybody? Are you smarter than anybody? Everybody, you know everything? You're destroying yourself. Be not overly wicked. Neither be a fool. Why should you die before your time? Because that's what's going to happen to the wicked and the fool. They're going to die before their time. That's what happened to Abimelech, right? Got hit upside his head with a rock. Because he was
a fool. Oops, upside his head.
I guess he didn't expect that.
No, Godre, oops upside the head. Oops upside the head.
And if you don't want boops upside your head, King Solomon said it is good that you should take hold of this, the wisdom that he's dropping.
Right.
And from that, withhold not your head, for the one who fears Elohim shall come out from both of them. Yeah. Mosiah, I'm going to put you in the right place if you're following the right path. King Solomon says, wisdom gives strength to the wise man more than 10 rulers who are in a city. And we know that Yoktan was a wise man because he got out from the threat of his brother and he just used words to bring him down. That's wisdom. He didn't confront his brother face to face. His brother was too powerful, right? Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and does sin. So I don't care who you are. King Solomon said you did some kind of sin in your life.
Yeah, you got dirt on you.
Anybody
you got dirt on you?
Some kind of skeleton in their closet.
I got the whole cemetery in mind. But I'm doing grave removal, sir. I'm doing grave removal. Truth be told.
Yeah, man. Do not take to heart all the things that people say. Can't listen to everything that anybody say. Take it personal. No. Lest you hear your servant cursing you. And you might hear that. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others. Yeah, so don't be so judgmental. When you got people under you, they cursing you because they don't like the way you doing things.
Right.
Evaluate what you're doing. All this I have tested by wisdom. King Solomon, the disciplined man, he's searching out everything. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. Yeah, he's trying to, you know, attain all that wisdom. And he said already, don't make yourself too wise.
Mm-hmm.
That which has been is far off. The past is the past. Leave it alone. And deep, very deep, who can find it out? I turn my heart to know and to search out and to seek wisdom and the scheme of things and to know the wickedness of folly and the foolishness that is madness. And King Solomon is famous for breaking down folly and foolishness and all the problems that he wrote.
Exactly.
He must have had a lot of fools around him.
Exactly.
And I find something more bitter than death. What's more bitter than death, King Solomon? The woman whose heart is snares and nets and whose hands are fetters. Well, we know King Solomon had problems with women. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines.
Like he was in a prime position to make those studies and make this remark.
Oh, yeah. Because what man would say this?
Unless you were in that position to make a prime study of women.
And he had plenty of women around him. Trust me.
Exactly.
But he knew, he who pleases Elohim escapes her. So all those women that he had, he knew how to escape them by pleasing the Most High. Don't please the women, please the Most High.
Exactly.
These brothers out here try to please these women and don't have no concept of the Most High, do they?
Exactly. Unfortunately.
It says, but the sin is taken by her. Yeah, y'all chasing these women, have no clue about the Most High. You trying to please her, you're not trying to please Yah. And she got you. Whether it's by child support, taking your children and running to another state.
Shut up, gotcha. But you're right, brother. You're certainly right, though.
King Solomon says, behold, this is what I find, says the preacher. While adding one thing to another to find the scheme of things, which my soul has sought repeatedly, but I have not found. One man among a thousand I found, but a woman among all these I have not found. See?
He's talking about the thousand. Yeah.
Yeah, see? This alone I found that Elohim made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. In other words, mankind knows what's right and what's wrong, but you're going to be searching out other things, leaning on your own understanding, as opposed to following the directives that our Creator has given us. And he ain't just talking about the nation of Israel. He said, man, he said, I see this, alone I stand, that Elohim made man upright. Every man knows what's right and what's wrong, right?
Exactly.
So, Contrail, you mean to tell me them little fellas that said I was born gay? So, Yah is just spelling that nonsense, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know what's right? You know what's wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Big Brother. That was an informative study right there. We asked you, fellow students out there, to restudy, research, and after you've done all that, you've meditated on the word of Yah, you follow it, you apply it in your lives. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Cartrell, any closing remarks and comments?
I love King Solomon, but I love King David more. What I love about King Solomon is that he's chasing wisdom, like we all should be chasing wisdom. Because we know that wisdom lives for the Most High.
Exactly.
And King Solomon has a lot to say about women. I know that.
Well, let's be honest about it, Cartier. I mean, he has the credentials, 1,000.
Yeah, man.
He can make those claims. Yeah. I ain't knocking him, brother.
And the fact that he's trying to give us a message that we should be careful in the women that we choose.
Exactly.
Says a lot.
They can beat you up or break it down. As you always say, Cartier, women got power. It's how they win.
Oh, yeah.
You wear your power to destroy people. You know,
my question
you're
is,
gonna wear your power to build up people, your family, then you're on the right track.
Yep.
All right, brother. Gotcha, that was so informative. I'm very appreciative. My wife, Nisanya, is very appreciative. I'm sure the fellow students that we don't hear from because they're universal, I suspect that they're very appreciative also for bringing to them Yah's word. Keep meditating. Keep coming back. I know you overheard Cottrell and I talking about a personal incident that I ran into quite recently. The only thing the wife couldn't placate me, Cottrell couldn't placate me, my friend couldn't placate me, my brother couldn't placate me, but these words has calmed me down, and they placate me, and they will placate you. Praise Yah and bless his holy name for his words. And so are we. Cartier, what you said, brother?
You hit it right on point, man. These words bring you through your trials and tribulations, which is why I fell so in love with the word of Mosiah when I was 14 years old, growing up in Harlem.
Exactly.
And it gave me so much spiritual strength. I'm just wondering if my man Always Busy is out there. But someone stay busy, you must be busy.
Exactly. You know, we love you, Cartrell.
Love you too, man.
Thank you, brother. And may the Most High bless you and your family.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. May the Most High bless each of you, fellow students, to open up to you his word, to allow you to have a new heart and a new spirit that sees his footsteps, his pathway, by virtue of his words. We love you. Shalom and good night. Stand in that circle like Cartrell said.
action, there is no defense. For my action, there will be consequence. Yeah, I stand in the circle of peace. One more time, cause only the willing will see their dreams.
I say you know we got the means, got the
means.
You know we coming good. I say you know we coming fit,
got the means.
You know we flying straight because we never flying lean,
got the means.
We're lifting up the game, we put it down all in my chain,
got the means.
Conquering lion, so we trample the beast. Damn it, don't tell us if we look to the east. East is the most and the most is the least. When you're living in a world of peace.